You are about to take a bite of White Apple Wisdom. The students and veterans who produce the White Apple Institute talk show encourage others with learning, mental, and invisible disabilities to ask Dr. Applewhite about how we can prevent dropout and burnout from school, work, and life. Stay tuned so you can encourage others and yourself to take a bite of White Apple Wisdom to change the perception of disabled to differently abled and succeed in the workforce. Learn more about us and support our mission at www.whiteappleinstitute.org or call us at 888-56-APPLE. That's 888-56-APPLE.
This is Dr. Geneva Applewhite, and I am so happy to be here this morning. I hope you're happy to join me, too. So many things out there to be joyful about in the midst of all the chaos that's going on. We still can find joy. That's right. You know, we are sponsored by White Apple Institute, and that is where people who are in need of support systems to either get back to work or stay at work or school, they can call in and speak to a counselor and receive support and resources and services to help them to succeed. So we hope that you'll go to whiteappleinstitute.org and click on that donate button and help us continue this great work that we're doing. We certainly appreciate all of the listeners that are supporting this radio show and supporting the work of White Apple Institute. This morning, our show is totally dedicated to the relationships, the issue of relationships that impact school and work performance. You see, we're going to have a special guest on the show today, and her name is Dr. Rachel Ross. Dr. Rachel Ross.
Hi, good morning. It's Dr. Rachel Ross. How you doing?
Oh, Dr. Rachel Ross, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's a wonderful, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. You're in Atlanta, is that right?
I'm actually in Chicago.
Chicago, right, yes. Are you still dealing with some good weather out there?
Yeah, we're actually temporarily having a pretty good weather day, so it's a beautiful Saturday, and I've been enjoying listening to the show.
Wonderful.
And really, you know, it sounds like you're really doing a good job of helping people either leave a bad situation or stay in one that's worth fixing, you know, which I think oftentimes, I know that one caller asked about asking friends, you know, for help, and is this help healthy? I think sometimes friends are always like, leave, or you need to leave, or you need to leave from the outside looking in. So I think it's always important, like you said, to find someone who's not submerged in it and can actually help you make good decisions, not based off of whether or not they want to see you just single as themselves, but whether or not this is actually something you need to do. So I think that's great advice.
You know, in your practice, especially as a sexologist, you're dealing with the issues of people who have a lot of stress related to their relationships and how that stress impacts their life. Can you tell us a little bit before we get into, because I really want to know more about your book and I want you to talk about that, but for a moment, can we just help our listeners to understand how stress can truly impact us so badly that we can it hinders our performance?
Sure, absolutely. And you know, I'm a family medicine physician, so the gentleman who wrote you a letter and saying that he ended up on antidepressants because of of the way things ended, I actually really respect that, because I think oftentimes patients are stressed out. They're going through a lot, and they don't really know where to go to share that type of information. And your family medicine doctor is the perfect place to start with that. And oftentimes, if it's causing ruminating thoughts, and this is the thing about stress, stress isn't what kills us. It's how we respond to the stress that kills us, because everybody's life is stressful. You can look at the next person and think, oh, well, they've got everything going for themselves. Everything is perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. Everybody's life is stressful. And I find that the people who fare the best with stress are the ones who have an outlet and have figured out a way to deal with the stress so that the stress doesn't eat them up. Because stress can raise your blood pressure. It can cause a stroke. It can, you know, stress has been linked to cancer recently. It's linked to overeating. It's linked to depression. So there's so much that stress can cause that if you are having trouble managing your stress, that's when you need to reach out and speak to a psychologist or speak to your family medicine doctor about help. And I totally respect the gentleman who went one step further and got himself on antidepressants, because stress sometimes and relationship breakups can cause obsessive-compulsive disorder, where everything you think of is that person. You can't think of anything else but the person and the relationship lost, and oftentimes you need medical help to help get those thoughts to stop, to cease. So I think that that's great, and I see it all the time because I deal with not just mental health but also physical health as well.
Of course, of course. And this focus needs to be on ourselves first. We have to figure that out first. And I like what you said about the way we respond, because I have a theory about the difference between the way we react to things and the way we respond to things, and especially in relationships. And so we hope that we develop a positive response when we're dealing with the fact that someone may be not living up to our expectations, because that's what this is all about. You know, usually relationships fail because we have expectations of another person doing something for us or with us. And so because that expectation fails, we become disappointed, and therefore that big ball starts creating a snowball, starts getting bigger and bigger in our lives. And there you go with that stress. And I like the way you brought out the OCD issue, the obsessive compulsive disorder, and how we can actually, we have to look for finding outlets, some kind of outlet. I mentioned earlier about scheduling times for grieving periods to get away from doing that while you're at school or work. But within that, also finding that outlet, something to exercise, some place to exercise, or just to meditate. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Exercise, meditation, kickboxing, whatever it is that you can come up with, because you have a lot of pent-up aggression, pent-up feelings, because like you said, when your expectations aren't met, you know, disappointment comes up, and the average one, you know, the average response is anger. So you have all this, this pent-up anger, that the best thing to do is find an outlet, whether it's exercising, whether it's yoga, whether it's meditation, whether it's a book club, whether it's going and spending your time and energy helping somebody else. Things that help you reframe and reconnect with the fact that your life really is better than you feeling like it is. And I think that that's important too, is always keeping yourself grounded in the fact that this is not that bad. Things could always be worse. There's always someone that's suffering more than you. There's always someone whose situation is worse than yours. And if you keep in the present and keep reminding yourself of that and keep finding outlets, I find that patients end up, you know, getting over that hump, you know, a little quicker.
Yes, yes. And, of course, it's even more challenging when, of course, you're in an intimate relationship with someone and you are not able to relieve yourself from the stress of the relationship from a sexual or sensual level. I assume that even builds up even more stress for an individual.
Oh, absolutely. And I find that, you know, couples, the biggest problem is this communication thing. So when one person is saying, you know, we don't have sex anymore. You know, you used to come on to me. I used to feel like you wanted me. And really what they're saying is, I don't feel wanted anymore. I don't feel appreciated. And so what ends up happening is sex becomes this thing that oftentimes the one person in the relationship has connected sex with you being attracted to them, you being wanting to be there. And when sex starts to fall off, then you have a situation where you have one person who's trying to communicate to the other how important sex is, but the other person is like, well, it's just sex. I mean, really, I mean, why do I have to have sex with this person all the time? But what the partner is really saying is, I don't even feel like you love me anymore. And so I think that the task becomes to try to help one person in a relationship understand that just like water and air is a need for some people, for everybody, sex for certain individuals becomes a need. And when you cut your partner off from that type of thing, they really feel like they're choking, like they're stifled, and then they have to try to express that sexual energy somewhere else, somehow else, whether it's through excessive masturbation, whether it's through having affairs at work, you know, whatever it is, it becomes very dysfunctional at that point. So I caution people to never really discount your person when they're telling you that, you know, that I really need sex a little bit, and to take those things seriously as a need and not necessarily a want.
Absolutely. And that it's not even just sexuality, it's sensuality, the sense of belonging and attachment and affection, attention.
Yeah.
Okay, and all of those things can overrun or extend beyond the intimate relationship you have with someone into those family members that are stripping you of energy and time and attention, so that it impacts the way you perform on a day-to-day basis. We have to look at, you know, when you talk about communication, we're not communicating, many of us are not communicating what our expectations are, especially early on in relationships with anyone.
Sure.
I notice especially, go ahead, please.
No, I 100% agree. I was just really agreeing because you hit it right on the head.
I know that there are some there are a few people that have some questions, and I want to make sure that I open up the line in enough time that they can ask you questions. We have a full switchboard this morning. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to everybody, but we certainly will try. Did you have a comment, anyone? I think the 209 line had a comment there from California.
Oh, well, yes, Dr. Applewhite, I'm so glad to be on. I'm glad to hear you on our show, Rachel, and glad to hear from you, because one of the issues that we're having, both of you guys are hitting them right on the head. In terms of how people need to handle their stress, we're having more issues occurring in the country and so and around the world. And it's important for people to understand stressors are going to be there, and it's all in how we handle it. So I agree. I don't want to over-elaborate, but I agree on the comment of it's how we handle it, because it also becomes per race how we handle stress. And a lot of times people don't address how racially we handle stress. And I think that's a great tool we'll talk about, because some races of people don't even use medication, and they're making it through stressors. And sometimes that's not being addressed. There are groups of individuals in this country and around the world that are not taking antidepressants to get through stress. But if we don't address that, then
I think, too, we have to keep in mind that other races have other experiences in America. And I will be one of the first people to attest to the fact that being an African American in the United States of America is an extremely stressful thing to do. When I can drive down the street, as a physician in a nice car and get nervous every time a police car pulls up from behind me, you know, that's a stressful situation. So I think, you know, everybody's stress is a little different, and as a result of that, I mean, if you need antidepressants to try to get that under control, if you need blood pressure medication to try to get that under control, we need to embrace it a little more. The main reason I wanted to stop you is I have too many patients that are so afraid of medication. And I think it's important as a culture to embrace the fact that every now and then you're going to need some medication. And that's okay. And it may be temporary. You may have to make some lifestyle changes so that you can get off the medication, but I think as a culture we need to start understanding that sometimes people need medication.
I agree.
Dr. Ross, I can definitely say that I totally agree with you, and there are naturopathic remedies also that we could look at as far as relieving stress. But I totally agree, and I really appreciate not only just John, one of the students, but many others who are willing and able to take antidepressant drugs to help them. And I know that that does become a problem, and this is a whole other show about the financial issues and insurance issues and that kind of thing. What Dr. Ross is saying is so important. And it's not just the medication, it's also our diet. We find that when people are in stressful relationships, and that relationship could be with an employer. I had a student not so long ago, Dr. Ross and other listeners out there, that actually quit her job because of a racial issue that she was having with her supervisor. And so sad that the reason why she quit a job that she had worked so hard for, I mean, went through tremendous training for at a bank, and gets into a position where she felt that the supervisor was racist against her. So my position, of course, right away as a counselor was, you know, let's try to work around that. But at that point, she had already walked off the job.
Sure.
Okay? And dealing with all kinds of stress. And this woman has three kids. And so, of course, that's impacting everything that she's doing in her life now. So we do have to really look at how every relationship, whether it's racially based, sexually based, or whatever, is impacting our performance.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Sure. I think we had the 928 number. Did you have a comment?
There's 928.
Mm-hmm.
I find it difficult to, well, not for myself, because I have my own technique, but I find it with my clients, it's difficult for them to dissociate themselves from their stress and their work.
Uh-huh.
And it's a rare person that can do so.
Uh-huh.
You know, what I'm saying is leave home at home, and leave when you go home, leave work at work.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very difficult thing to do, but it can be done.
Uh-huh.
I can relate to Dr. Ross. I am of a minority myself, and every time a cop pulls behind me, I used to get nervous.
Uh-huh.
But I started thinking, well, hell, I haven't done anything wrong. You know? So, you know, as long as I don't do anything wrong, I don't get nervous. But when, you know, I've got a yellow light, you know, if one turns right behind me, I get a little bit nervous. But, you know, stress can be in many forms, though. You're talking about stress of a relationship. There's also the stress of not being in a relationship.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The flip
absolutely.
Side of the coin. Because, you know, for every yin, there's a yang.
Well, that's what Dr. Ross was referencing earlier, is that we have to find alternative ways to relieve our stress in relationships. And I think that, and I'm going to give this back to Dr. Ross for a minute, I think that something you said, Carl, was very important, and it sounds like you're in the mental health field yourself, is that we many times, when you said you don't get upset anymore when someone's behind you, a cop is behind you or whatever, because you haven't done anything wrong. And I think in relationships we need to look at, have we done something wrong? Because many times we put it back on ourselves. Whether we have a relationship and say we've done something wrong in the relationship, or whether we don't have one and are trying to figure out what's wrong with me, okay?
Yeah.
And both those things can impact the way we perform at work and school. And these are things we put a tremendous amount of energy into. That's why we focus a lot on school and work. Because we put so much energy into these things to accomplish things, and to lose them over selecting or choosing to be in a poor relationship, to stay there, or to grieve and mourn over it and let it affect us, is a tremendously negative impact in our life. Dr. Ross?
Yes, absolutely. And I think you hit on something when you said, and so did the caller, about stressing about not being in relationships too. And I think that maybe on the flip side of that, sometimes, you know, particularly women are really hard on themselves about not being in a relationship, particularly if they feel like that, quote, clock is ticking or you know, just gotten a divorce and they feel like they failed and that everybody's looking at them like, how we knew that wasn't going to work. But I think sometimes, too, you know, I get a lot of questions from women about, well, you know, I keep attracting the same guy, the same stuff is happening, you know, over and over again. I keep attracting men who are separated. You know, what is this happening? And I think, personally, we have to do a better job, too, of taking some responsibility for what we're doing. You know, like if you keep running into men who are married and you keep running into men who are separated, you know, a big part of that is because you are open to that. You know, like I run into married people all the time, but that doesn't affect me in any way because I would never date one, you know. So I think sometimes we have to step back and take responsibility for what part you play in repeating a cycle. And then sometimes taking yourself out of the situation and figuring out, is this a cycle? Is this something that I keep doing over and over again? Are these the mistakes I keep having? Do I keep running into guys who are abusive? Do I keep ending up cheating on someone else? You know, like where do you fall in this, and what can you do personally to kind of change the future that you're writing? And I think that's a big thing, taking responsibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Taking responsibility for our actions. Okay,
yes.
And that's so important, because if we don't do that, then we are really sabotaging ourselves as much as we are sabotaging our career plans, our goals. We have to be able to manage the way we're handling any kind of stressors in our life. And especially leading back to something you said earlier, Dr. Ross, about the factor that cancer is now associated with stress. I think you mentioned diabetes, high blood pressure, all of these things that we're dealing with, in society, especially in American society, that we're overwhelmed with those statistics. And so
Yes. And then, you know, on top of it, just the daily stressors, you mentioned this diet. You know, we consume diets that are very high in processed foods, and so just the average person has no idea what all those preservatives are doing to your body. I mean, and what is tricking your body into doing. You know, the women who come in and they're like, for some reason I'm snapping on everybody, I'm extremely irritable, I don't understand what's happening to me. You know, sometimes it's simple as switching your diet from eating everything that you're eating is processed and you're buying this, as opposed to just cooking and using some organic fruits and vegetables makes a huge difference in how a person feels and how you start to handle stressful situations. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that documentary Supersize Me. It's about a guy who goes to McDonald's every day as part of the documentary. He goes every day, and he starts out being as this really calm person. And as he goes to McDonald's every day and he starts ordering more and more food, he becomes more and more aggressive and just completely a different person than the person you saw months before while he's focusing on McDonald's. So I want you to keep in mind two things. We've got a lot of food deserts in America where pretty much the only restaurants available and the only food stuff is McDonald's or Church's Fried Chicken or whatever else. But if you have options and you're still consuming those types of things, you would be surprised at how quickly your personality changes and how one incident that may not have triggered a response 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago when you were eating healthy, now that you're putting all of these toxins in your body, now all of a sudden you have gone off, you've chased someone down for a road rage situation, you've yelled at somebody, you hit somebody, you got into a fight at work. And really, sometimes it's as simple as adjusting what you're putting in your body. That old saying, you are what you eat, is
you are what you eat.
You are what you eat. And if you eat McDonald's every day, you're McDonald's. So,
yes.
I think,
you know, Dr. Ross, that is so true. And we find that so many people in relationships that have poor relationships start eating poorly.
Yes.
They start eating the junk foods because they're depressed.
Yep.
Yeah. So you hit it right on the head there.
Absolutely. So, and then it's a cycle. The junk food, you know, is there before things go awry, then it's there more so once things go awry, and you just have a hard time separating yourself. And that's, I'm a big component of cleansers, you know, like even if it's a 3-day cleanse where you're just kind of cleansing yourself from the toxins you've been mm-hmm. taking in and starting over. It's the same as when you're obsessed with a person, obsessed with food stuff, obsessed with sex. You have to go on kind of a purge or a fast in order to kind of reset your system in order to, you know, see clearly and function clearly mm-hmm. and have your body function at an optimal level. So, I mean, I have to go now, but I have completely enjoyed this experience.
Yes.
You know, for those of you who are on Twitter, please follow me at Dr. Rachel. It's DrRachael. For more information,
yes.
DrRachel.com. I'm a huge... I love your blog talk radio every week, and
thank
I'm going to
you.
Continue to tune in and maybe even call in sometimes just to chat. So
thank you very much. We truly appreciate you being part of our show this morning, and we know that you have to go, but thank you for stopping in and sharing with us, Dr. Rachel Ross. I look forward to an ongoing relationship with you. God bless you.
My pleasure, Dr. Applewhite. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining our show and taking a bite of White Apple Wisdom. Your donations support students and veterans with disabilities. It helps them to manage their emotional and financial crises, prevent dropout from school, work, and life, and most importantly, to change the perception of disabled to differently abled. Learn more about us at www.WhiteAppleInstitute.org or call 888-562-APPLE. That's 888-562-7753. Much love and peace.